Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. As we've been discussing, the crime rate is up 4.6% in the first quarter of this year. 37 homicides are on the books just in the first 3 months of the year. And as we've heard, this problem is something that the police cannot solve on their own. They need help. The community needs to step up, and there are people and organizations trying to do just that, trying to find or devise and implement solutions. And we're spending the rest of the hour with some of those people. Gemini Boyd is CEO of Project BOLT, which stands for Building Outstanding Lives Together. After spending 20 years in federal prison, he now helps ex-offenders and runs programs to help Charlotte's young people, and he is back with us again. Gemini, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Greg Jackson is Executive Director of Heal Charlotte, which tries to build trust between the community and its leaders, including the police. How tough a row is that to hoe? Come on.
What's
in.
What's going on, everybody? It's a tough road, man, but the journey's long-suffering. It's okay.
Okay. And Gary Crump is Executive Director of Men of Destiny, whose mission is to promote community collaborations that assist and provide relief for at-risk, underserved, underprivileged, and distressed individuals with programs that provide pathways to economic and social mobility. Welcome to you.
Good morning, Charlotte.
Morning. Before we talk about your individual efforts to help the community through these problems that we've been talking about, talk to me about what you just heard from the police chief. I'd like an answer to one of the questions I think I asked the police. What's going on out there? What is driving this murder rate up so dramatically in just the last year?
Well, me personally, that chief had a golden opportunity to not miss the point of historical trauma. He said that when he was a child, his father was murdered 30 years ago, rather not a child, but mine was murdered also. And how he resolved his issue is he became a police officer. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't even understand that. How I dealt with my trauma when my father was murdered, I seek to do just what he said he didn't want to do. But until we start understanding historical issues of trauma, we will never resolve these issues. We're going to keep, like you're chasing the tail. Or the dog, you're just going to keep chasing it, keep chasing it, because people are hurting in these communities. He speaks of things of the nature why people don't trust the police. They don't trust the police because of what happened with the young man that was on Bates Ford Road. And instead of our police department coming in and say, look, we want to listen. We don't want to hold no grudges against anybody. We really want to listen to the issues to try to help get to the root of this problem. But instead, it's always combative with the police force and individuals who are actually doing work in the community. Mm. Because a lot of us who are doing work in the community, if I wasn't sitting here in this on this talk show this morning, you wouldn't know that I'm doing work in the community.
Right.
He knows I'm doing work in the community. He might don't like how I do it or whatever, but I'm trying to save lives because I love people.
Okay.
Because I went through a lot in my youth. So we have to understand that there is a trauma issue.
Are you all on the same page? You agree with him?
Yeah, I agree with him on that note. And then I'll add on to it and say there's a mindset that needs to be changed. It's a culture that needs to be changed. That's way accepted in the neighborhood where we're from. You know, I'm adopted by Charlotte, but I'm from the Bronx, New York, where we have officers walking the beat every day on the street, you know. But we also had a community presence on my block where somebody's grandmother could pull you aside and tell you, get off the block at this time. You know, the adults that was hustling up the block wouldn't allow you to come up the block if you were a certain age. You know, it was a certain code of ethics and a certain respect that was going on in the streets where that has kind of like left the mentality, the
why people. Has it left?
Because the structure is different. You know, the people that, like people like myself that are 80s babies, we haven't been the most active in the neighborhood of keeping those code of ethics strong and being in our community holding that flag up for us. We haven't been advocates the way we need to be. You know, for me, it took a protest to come out, and then my activism sparked. You know, when I could have been doing that in my 20s, you know, but there wasn't anybody in my neighborhood that was actually telling me those opportunities that can happen if I sow a seed in my neighborhood, if I sow a seed where I'm from, if I help somebody along the way of the journey. It was a real selfish act of what I was doing. So the mindset really needs to change in the neighborhood.
But here you are, and you're doing what you're doing, which is why you're here. Yeah. How did it switch around for you?
Me starting to realize that my voice didn't match up with what I wanted to do. I had a voice of an opinion, but my activism didn't match up to that. And I wanted to get day-to-day in everything that I was doing. I wanted to make sure I was impacting a child's life every time. When I seen him walk into that store that I knew he shouldn't have been at, right. I wanted to be that person that told me, yo, turn around. What are you doing? Right. And we need more of those in the neighborhood. The mindset is different now.
Gary Crump, what's your take on all of this?
Well, I agree with both Jim and I and Greg. Our city, our youth, our community is in a survival mode. So when you're talking about hunger, homelessness, no jobs, returning citizen, you can't find a job because what you've done in your past has created this image that no one would allow you to put that behind. You've done your time. You've paid your dues. So now it's sink or swim. So we come out and whatever it takes to survive, that's what we're going to do. When you drive to the gas station to put gas in your car, gas prices has risen. That's $20, $30 a month out of that family budget. You're making
already small.
Yes, sir. You're making $10 an hour. So now Duke Energy raises the rates. That's another $30, $40. So now what are you going to do to survive? How do you live day to day? You're making nothing, and then everything you try to do is there's always an obstacle there.
This is so interwoven. I mean, you're talking about the vestiges of Jim Crow and slavery. You're talking about the breakdown in the community, which has come because of urban renewal and other factors. You're talking about poverty. And we had that study that showed that upward mobility is nearly impossible in Charlotte. And what we have is hunger and homelessness in certain parts of our community, and people not being able to get jobs because they've been incarcerated, and therefore they can't be employed or they won't be employed by certain people. Mm-hmm. There's no way out. But that's the anger. That's the frustration.
But ask yourself the one question you just answered. Answer the one question that you just asked.
What is it?
It goes back to the trauma and the historical racism.
Yes.
I mean, he speaks of a situation where Greg speaks of a situation when he was coming up. People weren't there to tell the youngsters what to do. You know why they weren't there? Because of mass incarceration.
Oh, they was moved out.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. You talk to Gary sitting across from me, and he speaks of the issues that are plaguing us with homelessness, not finding a job, poverty, period, because to me that's the wheel, that's the hub that drives all of this. Because if you start going into these communities and if Charlotte quit being a reactive city, because that's what we are, okay, we don't take action, we react from the action. So we become more reactive instead of saying that, oh, okay, something that's just happened, the murder rates has risen. But we still haven't resolved the issues that are plaguing our communities, meaning that there aren't no jobs, meaning somebody like me who did spend 20 years in federal prison. It's 45,000 different obstacles that I face every day to survive in this world that we call America.
Yeah.
It's not nothing new. It's designed to be that way.
They tell you when you come from our community, you got to be twice as good just to get half of what they got. So to
get
half of what you got,
and
you
best not make a mistake.
I got to be twice as good, and I better not make a mistake, right? So when we're talking about, like, somebody asked a question on Facebook, and they said, where are these murders happening? Where are these homicides happening, right? And then Chief said, they're in the same pockets that they usually happen, right? That's telling. That tells you the story right there. It's happening where it always happens at. It's just now people are more tired than they ever been. People are now in a survival mode, like Brother Crump said. They are resorting to what they know.
Yeah.
You know, they're fighting for territory. They're fighting for product. They're fighting for respect. And that's what they're fighting for, because that's the environment that they're in all day. And then that culture change that can't be normal in our neighborhood. I'm all for everybody doing their job, but I'm also for us in the community saying, not where we're at. And we need to own our streets. I'm all about ownership. I can't give you a 10-year plan if I don't own a building in my neighborhood. Mm. You know, I can't give you a 10-year plan if I don't own my block.
You have to have a stake in it.
You got to have ownership, not just a stake.
All right.
Ownership. right? Brother Crump need his own building. Hill Charlotte need their own building. You know, Gemini needs his own building. We need places that we can say we're going to be there because it's not sustainable no more. Right. And that's what everybody wants to say. Is it sustainable or not? And it's these trick questions that go around this city that they ask people. But now we need to be focused on, we need to own where we're at. We started that with the Reagan Drive Initiative, where we're focused on owning our own apartment complex. We're focused on taking on one of those hotels that are capitalizing off of poverty on 85 and Sugar Creek.
Greg Jackson is Executive Director of Heal Charlotte. Gary Crump is with us, Executive Director of Men of Destiny, and Gemini Boyd, the CEO of Project Bolt. We will continue our conversation in just a moment at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're joined this hour by Gemini Boyd, the CEO of Project Bolt. Greg Jackson is with us from Heal Charlotte. He's the executive director there, and Gary Crump is executive director of Men of Destiny. We started this conversation with the police chief because of the rising homicide rate, 37 so far in the first quarter of the year, threefold increase over just a year ago. And we're going to continue to talk about that, and we're going to talk about some of the things that you're trying to do in the community to lessen this. But one of the things that was discussed in the break is this wall between community and government. And you said, Gary, that it's like oil and water. The two don't mix. So when you got people like the mayor and police chief and, to a certain degree, Gary McFadden, the sheriff, trying to work inside the community, they're all from the government. So tell me how this is going to work or not.
The only way it is going to work if they're real with themselves. If you really want change and you really want to see what the community can do to help, then you can't worry about how Gemini Boyd and Project Bolt goes about and making that change. Mm-hmm. Because the change is what you're looking for. Obviously, you can't give it. And when we look at a system that's been in place forever and a day, it's not rocket science. And I think it's really simple. But however, are you really ready to step up and collaborate with the community, or are you wanting to control that narrative? You're wanting to control that narrative, and there's individuals that's just not going to let you do that if you want change.
Talk to me about the system. What is the system?
How much time do we have? So the system, you know, it's always asking for, well, what's your outcomes? And there's all of these administrative terms that they want to use. Hey, I'm making change. I can take this youth right here, and I can teach him this trade, mm-hmm. which now makes his employability go up. So now instead of $8 at McDonald's, I can go on a construction site, and I can make $15 or $20 an hour. But that's not what we want, because now that this youth or the young person is making a better living, able to provide for their family, so now we can't fill those prisons because they're not committing crimes. Because they're able to sustain as opposed to having to survive in a community. They're able to sustain a lifestyle.
Do you think that's an unintended consequence? You don't think it's an unintended consequence. You think that is how this is set up to run.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't have to think.
A lot of these issues were fixed. How many people would still have a job?
I mean, and not only that, before you continue, let me just piggyback on what he was just saying. This is what we have to realize, and we got to quit saying this. Oh, the system is broken. No, the system is not.
It's operating the way it was designed.
Just the way it was designed to run.
For who it was designed to run.
Exactly. And this system needs bodies by any means necessary. So, no, I'm not going to allow you to make $15 to $20 an hour to bring you out of poverty and bring your family with you and to make change in your community.
Right, because now you can't arrest me. If you can't arrest me, you don't need police. You don't need police. You don't need the jails. You don't need the jails. You don't need lawyers and judges.
Let's take it to a deeper note. No, I'm not going to give you exactly what you need on your budget. I'm going to give you a penny of what you need on your budget, so you can actually have to come back to me and ask for more so you can actually perform the services that you want to perform in your neighborhood. So I'm not going to fulfill the need that you really have. I'm going to give you a piece of that need. If I build a budget out right now and I tell you I need $100,000, you ain't going to give it to me. You're going to give me $10,000 so you control and put
you
a roof
much?
On exactly
give you
what
$500.
I'm going to I mean, this is what it is. You're it's 10%. Whatever I ask for, you're going to give me a 10% of what I ask for. You're not going to give me what I need. If I ask for 10, you're going to give me 1,000. That's just
someone and someone such as myself, like I have no collaboration with no city government whatsoever. I do what I do from community-led organizing. This is what I do. I reach out to the community and we try to make change together because I look to focus on empowering the community.
Talk so about it. On the one hand, you're saying that the government and community don't really mix together.
No, they don't.
On the other hand, you've said, Gemini, that no one in your community sees the powers that be in Charlotte getting involved. You say the mayor only cares about the Republican convention, that Councilman Braxton Winston is only seen at council meetings, and you never see Ed Driggs, who the Republican council member, on Beatty's Ford Road. And you say that you can't fix the problem if you've never been there to see what the problem is.
Ain't no doubt about it.
The mayor's never been there? Chief Putnam's never been there?
Listen, I'm in here to keep it, like we say in the hood where I'm from, 100.
100.
You feel what I'm saying? 100.
Yeah, I got
you. And the thing with me is that, now I got to take it back. I could have misled the community on Braxton because Braxton is an individual who has been around in certain occasions. He did help me with my youth town hall. But when it comes to the mayor, have I ever seen her in the community when something has happened? No. But is she on TV talking about the RNC? Yes. Has she got promoted about something that from the Republican Party? Yes. So does she care about me? No. You feel what I'm saying? And I tell her, no pun intended, do what you do. But you're exposing yourself. So when it's time for re-election, people aren't going to allow you to come in there and say, oh, I've been here for you from the beginning. I've did this. Nah, people are tired. I'm talking to these people every day in the community. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things they're saying is that we got to get the mayor out of there. Because she's not a part of the community.
You grew up in the Bronx, as you've already said, Greg, and you said in the Bronx you couldn't get a meeting with the chief of police. Here you've had meetings with Kerr Putney, our chief of police. You say that the city council is easy to touch. So you see things differently from Gemini. Where do you
begin
to see
this? No, I don't. Gemini's talking about people coming to the neighborhood. Gemini's talking about people coming out of their circle to come to the neighborhood and see, right? So a lot of meetings that I have, I go to people because that's my initiative. That's what I do. I'm an advocate for people. I'm going to find you wherever you at because I know people in my neighborhood don't really have that. Their wall is so big that they're not trying to make that connection. And I understand some of those connections are needed to be, and some of those connections need to be made. I'm also about social entrepreneurship. So if you can't make those connections, you need to learn how to make a table in your neighborhood. So when people try to come to your neighborhood, they got to knock on your table first. Okay. And they say, this is what needs to be happening. But the connection always has to try to be made.
So let's bring this back to firearms, to guns, and the use of guns to solve these small problems, which seems to be out of control here. I asked the chief if it was dangerous. If you have to break this cycle, somebody has to take the first step. Somebody has to be willing to either not bring the gun or keep the gun in their pocket and not use it. But if you don't bring a gun to some of these situations, are you putting yourself in danger?
You know the answer to that question.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you know the answer to that question. This is a war zone. You go to East Baltimore, you go to East Charlotte, you go to West Charlotte. It's a war zone. People are in a war zone. They are fighting for respect, territory, and product. It is a culture that they're in. This gang culture is a real culture that is different from what everybody sees on TV. And it's from South Charlotte and North Charlotte. This is real. If these gentlemen do not arm themselves, they will die.
So how do you break the cycle? When you're teaching them a trade and you're teaching them options, the two of you talk about teaching options, how do you convince them that that's something that is even viable in that atmosphere?
Well, it has to happen on all levels and throughout the city. It can't just be in a concentrated area. It needs to be across the city. And You know, when you talk about the youth that go to Title I schools, you know, why does it have to be a Title I school? Why can't it just be a school? Why can't you just fund it based on the monies that you have and the need of the school? Mm-hmm. So you put these these name tags on these items, and already the youth are, you know, they're at wits because they're thinking that they're less than anybody else.
So let's talk about some of the things that you're doing in the community that you hope, I'm assuming that you hope, will lead to a less gun violence. And
it's people, not a hope. It's stuff we're doing.
All right. So tell me how it works. Tell me how you're going to convince a young guy who feels imperiled if he does not have a firearm and if he does not stand up for himself and his own respect and use it in places where he feels disrespected. How do you convince him that there are other ways to do this?
I do a lot of collaborating. I do. I make sure we created an ecosystem in my apartment complex of Orchard Trace, where I partnered with my property manager. And as we're running this program there, we started bringing in resources that normally wouldn't be in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we had to provide these opportunities to these young men, to these young women, to these children, to the parents. But we had to make sure that there was a trust built. Trust is get thrown around a lot. Trust comes with consistency. So we had to be there all the time. When we said we were going to be there, we were there, and we're still there.
But I hate to throw water on this because I think it's great what you're doing. But when you're coming out of 600-700 years of oppression,
and you ain't coming out, you're still in it.
All right, still in it.
Yeah, let's address it how it is.
And you're certainly in the vestiges of all of that. And poverty surrounds you, and you're working with young people, saying, okay, there are other options. What's the point? I'm the young kid. What's the point?
Listen, like integrity. Not only integrity, but the point is you have to let children see and understand that there is a better way, first of all. Mm-hmm. And people such as myself, who is well-respected in this community of Charlotte, especially where the situations and the incidents seems to keep occurring, you know what I'm saying? I have to lead by an example. I get more people telling me that, man, little do you know you're making a difference, mm-hmm. so don't stop.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So people are watching. People are understanding. But I tell people all the time, it's going to take me, you, and you to help build these communities back up. Mm-hmm. Because it goes back to what Crump said. You want to change stuff in these communities? Create jobs. Quit using the cute word about affordable housing, that it is not being afforded to no one in the communities that I stand in. The only thing that's being done over there is gentrification. They're coming in, moving them out, throwing away the key. Just that simple.
That ain't even gentrification. It's a takeover.
It's just that simple. Yeah. So quit saying, as a community, as our city government, saying that you're doing these things to help these individuals. Because over 90% of the people that live in these communities are convicted felons. And if you're a convicted felon, you can't live within affordable housing, because there's a little sentence that bars you from saying that you can stay there. If you're a convicted felon, you can't live there. So how are you going to build and structure the African-American community when you won't allow the head of the household? Okay, he has went to prison. He or she has went to prison. They are returning citizens. So we need to figure out a way that we're actually going to be intentional on doing what we need to do in these communities. Let's quit using these cute words about helping these individuals when they're not helping them. They're seeking a way to destroy and keep on keeping them in poverty. It's just that simple.
So you're talking about doing what Florida did, change the laws.
Ain't no, exactly. Because if they do, a lot of people wouldn't sit in office right now. Uh-huh. Because these individuals will be able to get out and vote and let their voices be heard.
And run for office.
Well, you still can run for office as long as you're not on probation. So it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop people from doing that.
So we have, I think, the last figure I read was $70 million for affordable housing. And is that if they gave you guys the $70 million, not going to happen.
It's not enough.
But if they gave it to you, what would you use it for?
I would be right on Reagan Drive, going to the apartment complex of Hunters Point. I will be buying out that apartment complex. I will be rehabbing those units right there. It's part of the Reagan Drive initiative that we started. Mm-hmm. I will be rehabbing those units right there. I will actually be doing a community land trust, so the community actually has a stake in the land that we own, right? So it just doesn't get sold to the next buying bidder after a certain amount of time, right? And then I would also do some ground up construction in that neighborhood of community centers, urgent cares, medical centers, schools. And that's what we need to do. We need to build something like a Renaissance West in our neighborhood, for our neighborhood, by our neighborhood. It's about ownership.
Bottom line, I would do a lot of those things too, especially when you speak about building places for these individuals to find these resources. But one of the main objectives that I would also do is look to buy the land to build from the ground up and then implement the ownership to empower the community, because I'm all about empowerment. You know what I'm saying? People have to understand that they have power. But right now they're so vulnerable and so distraught that they don't believe that they have any power, because everything that they own doesn't belong to them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No one's coming through that community right now. Ask our mayor when the last time she walked any of these streets in our community. It was during election time.
That's it.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's when they feel they have to come out and tell the true collaboration. Until collaboration really is seeded and it's not infiltration, until all of the organizations can work together as one for our community, change will not take place.
And Brother Cole,
I don't care what anyone says. It's true collaborations. You go to these churches, what can we do for the community? And when you take something to them, they're like, well, why do you want to bring this to the community?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the churches. Those are the churches. So our communities are suffering because we have people within the community that
I
want to challenge this collaboration thing that he's saying, right? Because it always was sounding so good, right? I love this word collaboration, right? Because Brother Crump always said it, collaboration over competition. Okay. But now I've shifted, man, to empowerment. I don't need you to collaborate with me all the time. I need you to empower me. The stuff that I got going on, if you really believe in it, take the chains off and empower me. Give me exactly what I need. But that's what the real collaboration is when people come in and say, I'm going to uplift you.
They're going to say United Way, Red Cross, and everything else. That's what we're going to shoot our money to. They're not going to shoot it to Greg or Gary.
We've talked on this program about land trusts to do exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
We've talked to people up in Cornelius who were saving a historically African-American neighborhood because they stood up and said, no, you're not coming in here.
Yes.
When you take these ideas to city, what do they say?
Well, it's one. Before I address that, it ain't going to take but 15 seconds. I'm going to the three predominantly black big churches in Batesford Road, you know, the House of Prayer, the Park, and Friendship. Mm-hmm. And what I'm asking from these members is 50 cents twice a month in order to go into these communities and start empowering these communities. We got over almost 50,000 members, and I only need 5,000 of those members to contribute 50 cents in order for us to start empowering our community again. That's what we need to do.
I had some conversations with Julie Eisel, who has been helping me a lot. Hugh McCall, we've had some conversations. We're raising $15 million right now from the Reagan Drive Initiative to be able to buy at least two or three of these hotels that are on 85 in Sugar Creek. And those conversations have moved forward. And we are getting there, but a lot of the stuff that we need to do is privately raise.
That's Greg Jackson. You get the last word. Executive Director of Heal Charlotte, Gary Crump, is with us. Executive Director of Men of Destiny, Gemini Bolt, CEO of Project Bolt. I hope... this conversation made a difference and opened some eyes. Thanks for the time. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.